The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by LL Pavorsky Jewelers, where Rights to Ricky Sanchez listeners go and get engaged, real ones and fake ones. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds, get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process, The Colony Meadery, the gluten-free booze made from honey of The Process, and Kinetic Skateboard Shop. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, there are two Sixers players who came into the season with questions about whether they shoot threes. We only have one guy left. We'll also talk about the dominant effort against the Magic from Joel Embiid, the Sixers being number one on Zach Lowe's league pass rankings, and some fabulous, that's right, I said fabulous, Twitter questions. Without any further ado, here is Run the Jewels.
We are the murderers there. There with the jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then with the hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have powder to push. Now I smoke pounds of the kush. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. Two runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight.
Welcome to The Rights to Ricky Sanchez. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who is just a kid from Akron. That is Mike Levin. Hi, Mike.
Wow. What a week. This is seminal.
Yep.
This is a big deal. We have waited for his entire career to talk about Markelle Fultz as if he's a regular basketball player. That's all we've asked.
We're almost there. Almost there.
I think we're there. Isn't this there? He took shots from far places where he had always taken them prior to being drafted by the Sixers. Being drafted by the Sixers was almost the worst thing that ever happened to him.
Because it guaranteed something like that would happen.
Yeah. The pick swapping was good for everybody except for Markelle.
Yep.
And now it's not. Now it's great. Now we're good. We're in the clear. Nothing could possibly go wrong. The Sixers will be a no-drama 60-win team for the next decade. Book it. Let's go.
You know what we glossed over, speaking of normal, is that, Zaire Smith had to have a surgery to remove something from his chest because of something he ate.
That's true.
And I don't mean to laugh because I'm glad that he's okay, but that doesn't even seem like a real thing that could happen to somebody. And we were just fuck it. Not weird enough to make the pod.
No, didn't quite get there. Had to talk about Amir Johnson's 8 minutes of run. The Zaire thing, it's just, I think we as Sixers fans kind of just all looked at it and was like, no, not going to do it. I'm opting out.
It didn't happen.
Not today, Satan. It's just a rough, how many things could go wrong. And surgery for a food allergy. I have a devastating nut allergy, anaphylactic shock. So I empathize. I do. But I'm just not good. We've been through too many things for us to be like, okay, yeah. He had surgery on his foot because, he had a crush on a girl. That's okay. Got it. Yep. Done.
No problem. What's next? Yep. What's next? All right. We'll get into the Fultz thing in 1 second. But first, the Willie Green Apple Podcast 5-star review. We are at 1,841. We need to get to 2,000. Help us get to 2,000 so I can record a podcast that nobody wants to hear, reading all the reviews from last time to this time. This 5-star rating comes from Convey the Picks. He says, 5 stars, please more podcasts where AU talks for 60 minutes straight about 2007 NBA trends without taking a breath. Great radio. 5 stars, more AU. You know, the part in the pod you missed last week, because Mike checked out halfway through the AU stuff because he had a hard out, was me just looking at Elton Brand's stats and marveling about how he definitely would have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't have that Achilles injury.
Yeah.
His stats were unfucking real.
He's
for the first
good.
8 years of his career. Yeah, really, really good.
And when I looked at it, I then felt guilty about when we were on stage at the live pod being like, you had a great career. as if he was like, you know, Danilo Gallinari or something.
Right. He's legitimately, if he doesn't get hurt, he's legitimately a Hall of Famer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
All right. The Orlando game. So Fultz comes out. Well, first of all, before the game even starts, we're getting reports from, look, the first time these fucking idiots put their phones away for the last 3 years with Markel Fultz here, Bodner, John Johnson, everybody's tweeting about him shooting threes in warm-ups.
Oh, it was the best warm-ups anyone's ever seen. And
but no one had any videos.
My battery was low, and I didn't want to waste my data.
Like, seriously, like John has recorded every fucking thing that's happened in warm-ups for literally, like, the 2 years he's been covering the team, and Derek's even like, I know I don't have video of this. He's like, well, what the fuck else are you doing? Take out your phone, video, stop tweeting. So anyway, so it comes out in the warm-ups that Fultz is shooting threes, and all immediately it feels like maybe something. He comes out. With maybe a minute and a half gone in the game, shoots another 13-footer. And then a couple of possessions later is open in the corner and shoots a three. It's short, but he shoots a three.
Yeah, off a Ben Simmons drive and kick.
Yep.
Markel catch and shoot. Three, mm-hmm. short. Gets his rebound.
Yep.
Play continues.
And then, what would you say? It's like maybe 3 minutes later where he hits the three? Same spot, basically?
Same exact play. Ben Simmons driving kick. Markel catches it. One rhythm dribble.
Yep.
Goes up with it. And place erupts. Covington throws his hands up. Everyone's very excited. Because it happened.
Drew Hanlon in the stands getting another handy just during play this time. Didn't even wait until after the game.
Yeah.
You know. Everybody's celebrating. So, and my favorite part is, there's a lot of favorite parts. Everyone leading up to it, fans, players alike, being, you know, it's not a big deal if he hits a three or not. Like, he's going to be fine. But then he hits a three, and all of a sudden, there's a four-alarm meltdown from everybody all at once. You know, everyone just sort of all admitting that they needed to see it, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, legitimately, look, we've been talking about this for so long. This has been a story with very limited, minimal movement to it since last September. And we hear about, like, oh, it's looking good, and it's the shoulder, and it's now he's feeling better, and he's taking shots, or he's still playing, but he's not taking shots in game, and then he's going to get a shooting coach, and that's going to take 3 months, and it takes longer than 3 months, and we don't see the shot, and he's not going to play summer league, and there's so many things of just like, but at no point, the story was always, he used to be able to shoot, now he kind of can't. That, for a year, that was the story. And there's ups and downs, there's hitches, there's not hitches, and then finally, we see a three-point shot from the number one pick in the draft, who shot over 40% for his year in college. That's all we needed to see. And I would say you've been less optimistic than I've been about Fultz. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, though part of me thinks your optimism has been
fake. Yeah, I agree with that.
Optimism for show.
Yeah, that's probably about right. And so now I can you know, abandon that act of like just optimism for optimism's sake. And because you never know, And there's been so many moments where you're like, I think he'll eventually shoot. But then you think about it, and there's no example of this happening and being successful in the past. Not that there's many examples of anything like this. But, you know, Chuck Knoblauch never had a career again. It sort of was just like, oh, yeah, he's kind of done. And, you know, it feels like it was such a confidence thing. And he was shooting confidently in workouts, according to the tweets. And now he's stepping into the shots. And on both of those Simmons fast breaks, he's running to the corner. He is going for the corner. That's not like he just happens to be there for spacing. Like, he is aiming for that short corner. And he took the shot, and then he took the shot and it went in. And I can't express how good it feels. I can't express how long it's felt that, like, we've been in this limbo, this uncertainty, this nothing area where the guy that we, you know, sold the farm for, mortgage the future type move of cashing in the multiple assets for and saying, yeah, this is the guy, we're going to go get him. He's half the player that they drafted. And now he's back. Like, that changes the whole thing. We've been saying if. And here it is. No more if. He's the guy. He's shooting shots again like a normal boy. And we can now count him as the, like, yeah, all he has to do now, because it's real again, is pan out like the number one overall pick tends to pan out. And maybe it's not Anthony Davis, who is obviously a top five player in the league, but maybe it's like Karl Towns, who's like shows Whoa. Flashes and like isn't good at this at some part of the league, and he's like, you know, a top 30 player, top 28 player type thing. And so, you know, it's realistic that we're now back into the realism world of he's just a guy that earned the number one overall spot and all the things that can entail. And that's very exciting.
Well, I mean, you've certainly decidedly kept your optimism as far ahead of mine as we had before. I was glad to see it. I wasn't like, I'm not in the same spot as you. I am certainly a million times glad to see it, especially given the first game where he passed them up and obviously felt comfortable enough to take them. And how that progresses over the next weeks will be important to see, you know. Mm-hmm. They didn't, you know, he shot them and they did not look like they looked last year. They didn't look great, but he shot them, and that is nothing. I don't think that's anything to sneeze at.
Wait, are you saying you didn't think they looked great last night?
Yeah, they looked okay. I mean,
well, on the scale of what? On the scale of like Steph Curry, or on the scale of from where Fultz was last year to where Fultz was in college? I think they look pretty comparable to where he was in college. They're like 90-95% of the way there. And from shot to shot, there's variation. He's still like finding the consistency in his release, but that feels more tinkering than, yo, dude is not shooting threes because shoulder broke.
Maybe. I guess I'm not, after a year of this, I'm still apprehensive, I guess, is where I would put it. That's sort of where I am on it. I'm was happy to see it. It was great to see it. But like, the move from everyone treating this situation with we got to a point, I think, as a group where everybody was sort of making pretend that it wasn't what it was, like players, coaches, and fans alike.
Yeah.
And now that we can move off of this and he can just be a normal player, we'll see if it keeps up. I mean, like, this is going to be a high-pressure environment for him. This team has, like, really high expectations, remarkably high expectations. He is, for all intents and purposes, a rookie point guard playing on this team. And the Brett and Elton and everybody can talk about growing stars all they want, but the other two guys on the team are miles and miles ahead of him right now. And that, you know, like, if they're really thinking about starting him and playing him 25 or 30 minutes a game or whatever it is, we'll see if he's ready for that. You know, I hope he is. We'll see.
Yeah, I think it just became very, the starting Fultz project went from, oh, we're sort of being generous to boost this guy's confidence and make him feel like he's relevant and he's part of the plans and blah, 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 And that went from like a generous thing, like almost like a high school team manager type thing, to, oh, he's really good. And as the shot continues to develop, again, like, I'm not asking him to shoot 45% from three this year. If he shoots like 30, that's amazing. If he shoots 28 on like regular attempts, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm totally, I believe in the shot in the long term. If he's taking he took four shots, five shots, five threes,
four.
If he takes two threes per game this season, I feel great. I don't care if they go in. If he takes them confidently and he shoots them at a 25 to 30% clip, I feel great. That opens things up so much and does become that third star, because I do believe in the package. I love the defense. And, you know, it seems like him and Simmons and Embiid, it seems like he ties Simmons and Embiid together in a nice way. Like, you saw that that double pick that Embiid and Simmons ran for Fultz to get him open, where Simmons rolled after the pick, Embiid popped, and Fultz did like a Chris Paul-esque mid-range pull-up. There's very little defenses can do to stop that. If you're gonna have to pick your poison there. If Fultz is hitting that shot consistently, that's tough to stop. You kick out to Embiid, he's confident shooting, or you find Simmons on the roll. It really like melded together back to what we were saying when the picks fucking swapped and the trade happened, that like Fultz to me has always the skill set really made a perfect puzzle piece fit with Simmons and Embiid, and becomes the find two-way shooters, Covington obviously the guy around them, and that becomes like, we're good, like we're in, this is a fucking decade long, this is your squad, this is your championship contender, like book it. And I went from pretending that I believed in him just like rediscovering a shot when I've never seen anyone do that before, to, oh, he did, it's gonna start going in, he's gonna take it, and all the things that we dreamed of when they made the trade can happen.
So I like 30% or 28% on two threes a game, I think, is like, I pardon my French, but I think that's horse shit. Like,
bad or not going to happen?
Well, that does not make me that doesn't encourage me. Like Chris Dunn shot like 30% on 3.5 threes a game last
year. Of course, but Chris Dunn's always been a bad shooter.
But he can't shoot. But we have very limited evidence of Markel Fultz ever being a good shooter.
That's not true,
right?
We have his high school career and his college career. We have 1 year of him forgetting, and I just want him to be able to like shoot confidently. And if he shoots, you know, regular volume, at least keeps them honest. It opens up so much of the court for himself and for everybody else.
It doesn't open it up unless it goes in.
The difference between like 27% from three and like 33 is like not that many threes.
Well, yeah, but there's still a difference between 34% from three and 40% from three. That's like saying that the difference between a guy that hits 280 and a guy that hits 300. That's what the difference is. Again, I don't want to sound negative on it. I'm not negative on it, but I'm definitely not where you are. I'm definitely not like, oh, he's fine, he's fixed. Like, there can't be a year of disappearance and then all of a sudden he gets on the court and makes one of four threes in a preseason game against, by the way, a team that, like, what a fucking disaster the Orlando Magic are. Holy crap. But I'm not there. I'm definitely not there. And I know I'm going to get smoked for this. I know it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Like, every time that he has a preseason game that evokes any sort of confidence, I would pick up the phone and call teams that might be interested and see if there is value. Because even if he can play, there's no, I don't believe that in the next 2 or 3 years he is a contributor to a championship level team. Like,
a contributor?
I don't think he is
in any way.
I don't believe a 19-20-year-old point guard is like it. It takes too long. Like, you see all these guys, they don't get good until they're these point guards. They don't get good until their second contract or the end of their first contract, unless they are they show it right away. And he didn't show it right away. And I just, when you come down to, if we're talking about in the next 2 years that they have to add the third star in the next 2 years, and like, and then it becomes impossible. Like, and the other option is waiting to see if Markelle Fultz is a star. I'm taking option A and not option B. If there's value out there, like, I think this makes him more tradable. And I just don't think he's on the same timeline as these other guys. And I'm sure he's a sweet kid and might be a great player one day. But I'm not confident. And I genuinely hope that my mind changes on this. Genuinely hope they just keep him. And by midseason, I look fucking stupid. Happy to look stupid. But I think he is potentially more valuable as a trade piece than he is as a player on the Sixers.
So I don't disagree in the sense of the timeline issue. Like, Simmons and Embiid are obviously top 25 players right now, and Fultz is going to take growing pains. He's just with his body, with his jumper, with his figuring things out on the court, where to be, how to be useful, and simply just sharing the ball, him and Simmons and Embiid. As guys that all kind of need the ball. So I agree in that sense. And so if there is a Jimmy Butler type trade, Jimmy has his own concerns, obviously, but that mm-hmm. kind of player, if it's Clay, if it's whatever, like those kinds of like right now ready type things, then you certainly explore it because the East is open. You're one of the top three teams in the East already. If you can get a guy that's ready now and has the longevity, I wouldn't trade him for, a guy in his mid-30s. But if you can get a superstar type thing, similar to a, like, the Wiggins and Love deal. I wouldn't do it for Love specifically, but like that kind of thing. Then I think you absolutely explore it. 100% you explore it because the timeline thing is right. But I believe in Fultz being valuable to a championship team, a championship contender, soon. I think it's definitely going to take growing pains, but I don't think we thought Simmons was like that.
You're right.
Going into
You're
it. Right. And so yeah. I think we're close to, it's obviously been one game of him proving that he is willing to take threes. And to me, the issue was never, I don't know, to me, I maybe we disagree on this, but the bigger issue in regards to Fultz was that he simply was not confident enough to take threes. My issue was never coming out of college, oh, he can't shoot. He has trouble shooting. I mean, he shot like 68% from the line, and that was like, oh, not great. Maybe he's not a 41% three-point shooter right now. The sample size maybe didn't add up, but he's always been a good shooter, not a pure shooter. He's not, Kevin Huerter, but he is a guy that can get his shot on three levels and hit an open shot. And now that he's back to, I'm willing to catch the ball on a drive and kick from Simmons and go up with it, that just, they're playable together. It opens things up on the pick and roll game, which the Sixers didn't have at all last year. I just believe in the kind of player that he was coming out, and I think we're just kind of back to almost square one with the package that they thought they were drafting. And so if you can take last year as a mulligan and this year as like he's working himself back to being that guy, then I feel confident in this year being a transitionary year for him becoming useful, growing more confident in his shot,
and being willing to take those shots, even if it is 28% from three on two attempts per game, then I believe that next year it will be, okay, I did a season. That was my real rookie season. I am ready to become like a championship level player in my second slash third year and then become the 35, 36% three-point shooter as I grow into more consistency.
I'm curious to see if he's shooting 28% from three on two shots a game, how much how much run he gets. Mm-hmm. Because again, they can preach patience all they want, but I think their actions aren't quite like even what Elton said, you know, like they think that their window is starting now. And mm-hmm. it will be interesting to see how, you know, like, look, guys getting hurt certainly actually helps him in a certain way. I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think Bayless getting hurt and Chandler getting hurt both being out at the start of the year, most likely, it seems, helps him, you know, get run because mm-hmm. he'll need it. And it's as sort of good that they don't have a lot of other options, I think. So before we get to one more Markelle Fultz issue, an important one, let's talk about our sponsor, Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Now, these beds are engineered specifically for dogs, but there is a rumor that Markelle Fultz slept on one of these beds for several months. It healed his ailing shoulder because that's what it does for joints. For dogs, it ended up doing it also for a person, and it solved the issue. Have you heard that rumor as well?
Yeah, it was at his favorite live podcast. Stayed there for 7 months long.
Yep, he won a contest. Big Barker dog beds are better than the normal dog beds that you're used to. You're used to seeing these dog beds. They may look comfy, may be frilly, but your dog lays on it and is essentially laying on the floor. And that isn't good for anybody, especially not, like, look, they've got four legs. So I was going to say that's more joints, but it's not. It's the same amount of joints as us. But they have joints They have joints just like people do. If they're sleeping on a bad bed, they're going to be sore just like people do. And they get older just like people and develop arthritis. And something that can ease the effects of that and make dogs sort of like spring back to their normal selves and stay pain-free for longer is something like Big Barker. They are the first dog bed engineered specifically for bigger dogs. Dogs over 50 pounds especially develop arthritis more than the other dogs do, and that's what Big Barker's for. Look, if your dog's not sleeping on a Big Barker dog bed, the simple fact is you don't care enough about your dog. You should care about your dog. Fact. That's a fact. Science has discovered that. Get your dog a Big Barker dog bed with the Right Stricky Sanchez logo on it by going to bigbarker.com/Ricky. That is bigbarker.com/Ricky. Like I said, like keeps their joints eased and comfortable. And as dog, you know, we have a bunch of pictures of dogs, process pups, on Big Barker dog beds on rightstorickysanchez.com, and they all look just comfortable as hell.
Yeah,
comfortable as hell.
Michael Weber, new dog owner, purchased himself a Big Barker therapeutic.
Yeah, dog bed. And here's the thing: you can go to bigbarker.com/ricky. You don't need the Right Stricky Sanchez logo on the bed, but go there so they know. We prefer it. Yes, we prefer it. The dogs prefer it as well. 10-year warranty. The foam won't flatten or they'll replace it for free. 1 year at-home trial. If you don't like it, if your dog doesn't like it, you can return it for a free refund. They'll even pay for shipping. Handmade in the U.S. of A. A big thanks to Big Barker for donating $500 to to our run team for the Providence Animal Center Bark in the Park 5K. That was very generous of you. So get yourself a Big Barker dog bed and give it to your dog. And when your dog's not sleeping on it, you can sleep on it too. Big Barker dog beds. So here's one last Fultz thing. I know we've talked a lot about Fultz. I had a lot of stuff on the rundown, but of course
people wanted an emergency Ricky. Guys, we do too many Rickies as enough as it is. You want an emergency one?
Yeah.
Everyone is an emergency one because we have to keep doing it. We are obligated. We have hemmed ourselves in. I'm doing nothing but Rickies.
It's an emergency. My life is an emergency.
Right. We're doing podcasts like every 3 days. Like,
there hasn't been a game in years.
Yeah. we can't. It can't be an emergency. As soon as he hit the three, and I went to bed. I watched the game this morning mostly. I went to bed basically after he hit the three. He hits the three, and there's already 35 emergency pod tweets. Kornblau is like threatening us for an emergency pod tweet. That he basically says, if there's no emergency pod, he doesn't even know if like we're the Sixers podcast
wow.
anymore.
Pulling his funding.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, give us. Sometimes I have to go to bed. I'm not going to bed tonight, so, you know, I had bed last night. One last Fultz thing. The T-shirt under the jersey.
Here we go. Now it's the important stuff.
Markel, this is not college. You know, the only good theory I've heard of this is that he is showing the Celtics fans who do not wear T-shirts under their jerseys how they should be wearing their jerseys, which mm-hmm. is, if that's true, that's fair. We've seen plenty of shirtless Markel Fultz pictures over the last several months. We know his shoulders probably look fine. Markel, I think you got to lose the shirt. That's my position.
See, I don't mind. I don't love the shirt under the jersey. I don't think mm-hmm. it's a great move. I don't think it's like cool. I'd prefer a sleeve type thing. Mm-hmm. But I like a thing. And I would say, there's some guys that have too many things. There's this guy specifically on St. Mary's named Calvin Hermanson who has all of the things. You should Google him as I'm talking because he has just too many things. But having one thing and being like, this is my one affect that I'm applying to my look, whether it's jersey or it's leg sleeve, headband accoutrement type thing. I don't mind it being that. I think it's a nice separation. I wouldn't mind if like Simmons has his thing, Embiid has his thing, Fultz has his thing. It's the shirt on the jersey. I think it's fine. I think it's like I forget who said it specifically, but there's somebody that was like, I wear a shirt under the jersey. I think it's baseball players. There's a baseball player who wears a shirt underneath the jersey to make it seem that like, oh, they can't see my muscles, so they don't know how strong I am. Like it's like a little bit of gamesmanship in that. In that sense. So I'm choosing to believe it's that.
That's the biggest horseshit I ever heard.
I'm choosing to believe it's that. I'm choosing to believe it's that.
It is gamesmanship because
they're underestimating him.
They don't want him to see how big his muscles are.
That's the take of the year.
All right. So Simmons. Three notes on Simmons. One note, the free throw form, as has been noted, does look different.
Better.
It does look better. His elbow is under the ball. It does sort of look like, this is another take. I'm full of takes on this one. It does look like the ball is sort of like balancing on his hand. Mm-hmm. Does Ben Simmons have small hands? Do you know? He looks like he might have small hands.
No, I've shaken his hand. It's a big hand. It's a big, big strong hand. Can confirm. Inside sources tell me. I will say, maybe the combination of the shot where the elbow, like at least last year, the elbow flared out. He's talked about that before. And the handle, which is like loose in the almost like Australian rules football sense, where he's kind of just like the ball is near him. It's not on a string, but it's always like within arm's length. And he's just going to muscle you out of the way for it and sort of like give you a front forearm. But there might be like some like what's the word I'm looking for? Off-kilterness to his some hand eye something. Like his hands seem like maybe like a little like slippery or
right?
like a little bit not quite. I don't know if I'm saying any correct words. But I know what you're saying. I do think the ball is balancing nice on his hand without really being like locked into it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like comfortable on his hand, I guess. It doesn't look like it's in the pocket on his hand, I guess.
It's kind of just resting on top of it, which is fine. I think the free throw form looks great. I'm very happy with the form. There's rhythm to it. There, it seems like he's comfortable. It seems like of the times that we've seen the
repetition seems the same. Much better than last year to me.
The other thing that I noticed was he... So last year when TJ was in the game, Ben would sort of just stand there. And he does look more active off ball when Fultz is in there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, they're posting him up more. I love a high-low Simmons Embiid. Love a high-low. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, you know how much I love interior passing. And Fultz, Simmons Embiid, like Simmons using, like he's got, there's nobody that can cover him. Especially, like, there's just not, they don't have, there's not enough players in the league that can cover all of the Sixers at once. And Simmons utilizing his height and strength and finishing advantage over smaller guys, take him into the post, make him uncomfortable, play high-low. Love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Some other notes from the game. Everybody on the Magic is 7 feet tall and isn't playing together. I remember 2 years ago, not this past Pacers season, but the one before, I remember watching one game and being like, I don't think the Pacers know what the fuck they're doing. And man, what a mess they look like. Aaron Gordon's doing his own thing. Everybody's doing their own thing on the Magic. Just what a shitty team.
Bamba's good, though. Bamba,
he's going to be
like
awesome.
Bamba. Yeah.
Love Mo Bamba. I texted Sharp today, and I was like, here's a take. I was like, I am more sure that Mo Bamba is going to be better than DeAndre Ayton than anything else in basketball right now. I think DeAndre Ayton has a loser Dwight Howard face, and Mo Bamba is a winner.
Loser face.
Yep, has a loser face, and I don't, maybe not this year, but Mo Bamba eventually will be really good. Look, dude, that dude's like, his 3-point form looks fine. He looks like that dude can shoot already.
Yeah, that it's was definitely the Drew Hanlon Bowl was happening.
Yeah,
before our eyes.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Embiid looked like a fucking monster. I mean, yeah. Oh my, whoever they threw on him, he just crushed. Whether it was Vooch, former Sixer, Nick Vucevic, or Mo Bamba, or whoever it was, that was for. I thought the first game, the Australian game, Embiid looked but the Orlando game, he looked like an animal. He looked awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting finding the balance for Joe of when do I bully ball my way in there, because it seems like that was really a point of emphasis over the offseason of just realizing that you are so hard to stop and so physical, and whether it's bully ball into just dunk on you, or bully ball into like pivoting around. And I love when he like sort of split the defenders inside and a nice little layup in there, or just bully ball into getting positioning and having and opening yourself up for a lob. I love that shit. I love it. And when he, but you can't do that every time. I think, there's going to be some Shaq to his game, but he's still, the game has changed in a sense where you can't always do that, but mm-hmm. he has added the, like that little turnaround, that little face up when you do that versus when you just like, okay, go get a bucket, go bang in there, go get fouled and just like walk to the line all the time, make a living there. And when you pick and pop and step out and hit that three. So I think it's going to be a balance of when, like, he's almost become a three-level scorer for a big guy, which is crazy because you don't see that. You see rim runners, and then you see maybe, like, you know, a Miles Turner type, which is he can be a lob threat, and he can be a pick-and-pop threat. But you're not giving him the ball at the mid-post and saying, like, okay, go get a bucket. And whether it's like footwork into a fadeaway or a step into a face up, something like that. But like Embiid has all of it, and it's exciting to see that potential. But because he has so many moves, I think it's going to be about finding the balance of what makes him the most efficient, what's the best for the team. And also, as much as we want him to live the line and just dunk on everybody every time, not wearing himself down. And occasionally just being like, you know, with LeBron, you know, like he can get to the brim every time he wants, but sometimes he just, you know, it's exhausting.
Yeah, I agree with your position there about him the three level thing, because I remember last year comparing him to Ewing at one point, and Ewing was really like, Ewing scored inside, but most of his stuff was like 16 footers, and that was what I saw in Embiid. But he's really got those other things. You know, the three hasn't gone down in the first couple of games, but he will at some point in his career be a really effective 3-point shooter. I think he's too good at shooting in general for him not to be, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he will figure that out. And we were talking at work today, you know, the odds on him for MVP this year were 20-1. And
really?
Really. And now, this article was from maybe a month ago or something, but I was looking at it with Jack. But, you know, you look around the league and you say, okay, the Warriors guys have a harder shot at it because they cancel each other out. LeBron's team, the Lakers, won't be good enough, most likely. They're not giving it to Westbrook again. They're not giving it to Harden again.
Why won't they give it to Harden?
I don't think he'll win it again. Like, I just don't think Harden... I think by accident, that team just ends up worse this year, you know? And maybe they will, but I don't think they will. Like, it's obviously... I'm just talking myself into Embiid as, like, a real contender for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Kawhi, if he's healthy, could be a real one.
Yeah.
Giannis, if they wind up winning more than 46 games for once,
yep,
might be a threat.
But AD.
I think the AD problem is, do we really think that they are going to be like more than a 45-win team?
Right. You know? How many games did Oklahoma City win 2 years ago, though, where Russ won?
They were at 48, but I think 48 or 49, but I think a lot of people regret that MVP. Okay. You know, like, I think if you were to give people the opportunity to re-vote, they might not vote again for... I just think he's better chance than 20-1, and if he plays 72 games, I think there's a real, real shot that Embiid could be a real MVP candidate.
Yeah, I think Kawhi, if he's healthy, is a really good chance because he'd mm-hmm. so clearly be the best player on that team.
Yep.
AD, if they win enough games. Giannis, if they win enough games. I just don't think you can give it to any of the Warriors because they're all so good, and Steph and Durant mm-hmm. just kind of cancel each other out. I think Harden could get it again. I think Russ could get it again, although maybe Paul George cancels him out a little bit. LeBron would have to get... He'd have to get, like... They'd have to win 52+, right,
mm-hmm.
to get there. I wonder if Simmons cancels out Embiid a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe.
Giannis and AD and Kawhi, I think. Although Lowry's obviously very good. That gives them like head and shoulders over the second best player on their teams.
Yeah, I think... They have the advantage of being way better than everybody on their team, but the disadvantage of not having a player, not having a team that is good enough. I think specifically with AD and who's Giannis. The other one? Oh, and Giannis, I think so.
Yeah.
Last couple things on this game, because there were some good Twitter questions we should get to. And final thing on LeBron, just because you mentioned him there. Look, I don't know how I know how I felt about the LeBron to the Sixers thing, and I know a lot of people felt the other way, and I regularly said that it wasn't, there wasn't a right, there wasn't a wrong. But watching that Nuggets-Lakers game and seeing like JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson and Rondo, like almost seeming like a practical joke that one team could sign all those players.
Beasley.
Look, I'm just saying that LeBron, the GM thing, is a very real thing. And I am, God bless him, and I hope he has a great Lakers career. I'm glad he didn't come here. I'm glad he didn't come here. I'm happy. I watched it. I'm like, you could have had anybody, and these are the guys you got. This is fucking crazy. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. I just thought, and you know, like, the way LeBron is that... He'll be sick of the young guys within like 2 weeks, and Rondo will be playing 38 minutes. I'm so glad he's not here. God bless him, but I'm glad he's not here.
Yeah. I think it'd be the idea of LeBron like forcing out, whether it's like Zaire or TJ or any of those guys, and being like, nope, it's going to be Rondo, it's going to be JaVale, it's going to be Lance. Like, we got to go. And it's like, oh my God, this is really testing us. That's my boss. Like, that kind of stuff, being excited about that, it makes it easier. I can love LeBron, which I do, prior to him employing me, and also root for the Lakers to fail on any of the levels I need to. So it's worked out nicely, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. It's worked out well for both of you. It's funny, like the whole, well, they didn't want to commit salary, so that's why they signed those guys, is like LeBron the player GM is like Brian Colangelo or something. It's like, yes, you didn't have to commit salary, but you also didn't have to sign those fucking guys. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, I thought Redick looks particularly spry, I think, this preseason so far, doesn't he?
Love him off the bench. I thought it was kind of a gimmick thing, but yeah, why not? Let him do his thing.
And Landry, Shamet, I mean, that shot is pure and pretty quick, you know?
Yeah, they're going to do the same thing with... I'm impressed, you know, one game against the Magic, but I'm impressed with... The biggest thing was, you know, Landry's a smart player. He is a pure shooter for sure. My question was, can the athleticism hang on offense? Is he big enough and physical enough on defense and to not get played off the court? And so far he's smart enough and hitting shots enough to where that's, you know, you feel good about it. And the Sixers really like what they see. I love that he is getting a chance to get those Wilson Chandler minutes while he's out. Because having another dynamic shooter in there and a guy that can, you know, him and Korkmaz, like, do more than just, you know, Bellinelli shooting. Although I will say that, you know, Bellinelli's cutting ability, as I like to say, is underrated and did open up the offense in those last 16 games and into the playoffs. But there's a dynamic level to both those guys, because Landry did play some point guard at Wichita State. So I believe in it, but I didn't love him coming out of the draft, Landry, because of the deficiencies on defense. So I'd still look for that, at least early on in his career, before he puts on the necessary weight and gets better as a team defender. But so far so good. I love him flying around screens. Like, let him just be, you know, backup JJ. Absolutely, why not?
Hey, before we take some Twitter questions, why don't we talk about our other sponsor of this podcast, the Pure Pressure guy on Twitter to do emergency podcasts. That is the official law firm of The Process, Kornblau & Kornblau, Adam Kornblau. I trust his judgment in personal injury lawsuits. I don't trust his judgment in when to tweet us to do emergency podcasts.
Yeah, he has a specific clear. Specific skill set.
Yes.
You want him for some things. You don't want him deciding, you know, how you're going to spend your Monday evening, maybe.
Yeah. Like, here's, I want him sponsoring VIP sections of live podcast shows.
Sure.
I want him taking care of my personal injury case. I don't want him telling me when to do a podcast. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair.
He has been a Ricky listener for a long time, which of course makes him part of the club. Also levies some questionable judgment, you would say. But this guy, if you need a personal injury lawyer, if you need a personal injury law firm, you would be a damn fool to go to anyone but Kornblau & Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process. You hear personal injury law firms advertised, and the truth is you call them and they are just referral services. You don't get the person that you're calling. With Kornblau & Kornblau, you always get a corn blow. It is the right size. They have enough offices in the Delaware Valley to suit anyone around here, but they're small enough to where when you're calling there, you know you're dealing with those people. They've made quite a name for themselves over the last 40 years, getting some of the biggest results for medical malpractice suits. They can also take care of your injured at work cases, your slip and fall, your car accidents, whatever it is. Corn Blau has two rules. Number one, do a podcast when he says. Number two, actually three rules. Number one, do a podcast when he says. Number two, do not be a hero. And number three, do not lie. If you're injured in an accident, make sure somebody knows about it. Go get yourself some treatment. And if you were wronged, you should call Corn Blau. He will take good care of you. We promise it. If you think you have a case, give him a call or shoot him an email. It doesn't cost you anything. 215-576-7200. Ask for Adam. Email cornblau at cornblauandcornblau.com. Cornblau spelled with a K and is spelled out A-N-D. And the rest
is up to you.
All right. Some good Twitter questions. This comes from Walk with Lyle. Lyle asks, who gets more playing time? And let's say this is average minutes per game. Shamet, Zaire Smith, Furkan Korkmaz.
I will say Zaire. I think Brett's a defensive-minded coach, and I think he's going to go with the defense, especially with these three guys not having a similar amount of combined experience. I think Zaire's athleticism and defensive abilities will just play him into the rotation.
Yeah, I've said several times I don't think Korkmaz is going to play that much. I think Shamet. Just trying to think of the minutes. You know,
depends who's healthy. Because,
yeah. This comes from I would go with Zaire as well. This comes from Ryan Jones. He asks, when will this start Dario over JJ madness end over under 10 games into the season? Now, are you, this is obviously with the understanding that we think that Fultz is going to start the season, obviously, with this question.
Which is cool. Let's just say it's cool. Guy barely played last year. His shoulder was falling off. And now here he is.
Yep.
Slated to just start for the second or third best team in the East. That is not bad. I'm happy with it. That being said, I think JJ will start immediately. I think Dario is going to come off the bench.
Wow. For the start of the season.
Yeah. So I would say under 9.5 games.
What do you think his, how much of that has to do with his demand to start on the live Ricky?
How much do you think Dario, the currently starting, has to do with his demand?
No, how much does him eventually being put on the bench is Brett Brown showing him who's boss?
Oh, interesting. You think he listened to the live Ricky? I think it has. I think Dario will accept it and be pissed off. So the right amount of pissed off, and Brett will respect that about him.
This comes from Chris. Chris asks, if you could add 6 inches of height to any Sixer for the 2019 season without them changing their skill set, I feel like we've answered this question before, which player would it be and why? Example, Embiid at Yao's height, Simmons the largest man in the league playing point guard, JJ shooting over everyone. I got to tell, well, if it wasn't just for this year, making Zaire Smith 6'10 would be...
Oh, my God. Well, I think wouldn't Zaire at 6'10 just be like... Marquise Chris, kind of.
That'd be Aaron Gordon.
Hmm.
He keeps a skill set. I don't know. I mean, look, Embiid at fucking 7'8 is...
pretty good. Hard to deny that.
Yeah.
Embiid at 7'8 or like TJ at 6'7.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Yeah. It would basically even them out.
You know, I'm going to go Dark Horse. I'm going to go Dark Horse. I'm going to say Demetrius Jackson at 6'6. 6'5. Demetrius Jackson, 6'5, is John Wall.
Yep, basically. This comes from James. When do we hear Spike's long-awaited Celtics take? That will be next week's pod. I will reveal my Celtics take. This comes from Ryan. The Sixers averaged 16.5 turnovers per game last year, which led the NBA. With Markel in the starting lineup, would you take the over or under for this season? It's interesting because Markel adds turnovers. You would hope that Embiid's will go down.
I'll still say over.
I'm going to say over. Mm-hmm. What do you?
Like 16.8 type. In the ballpark, but a little bit over. I think Markel will average it. I think these are guys that are going to take risks. I think they're going to try a bunch of things, and that'll lead for turnovers, but it'll lead for a lot of dynamic play also.
This is probably the most important question we got. From David Rode, which Sixer do you think is most likely to grow a James Harden beard? Coaches and front office personnel can be considered in this answer.
Well, Brett's already there.
Well, it's not a Harden beard, though.
Okay. That's like grizzled.
Amir's kind of close.
Mm-hmm. I choose to look at this question as like a who will surprisingly grow a beard,
right?
And I'll say like Bayless, being benched for his second consecutive season. I could see him just growing like a protest beard.
This comes from...
Or like Joe Nabolden, like looking for a thing. Because yes. Markel took the short sleeve shirt.
Yeah. This one I put only in for comedy's sake. Dale Thomas asks, can Simmons get some love as you guys always rip him and act like he's just okay? Any other team in the league would be loving him. This is obviously directed at you.
Okay.
Why have you been so critical of Ben Simmons?
Too critical. I like that. I like that take. Okay.
I'll just leave that there. This comes from Drew Hill 99. What total number of threes or percent from three does Markel have to shoot for the Ricky to buy a thank you billboard for Drew Hamlin in Los Angeles? Is Mike allowed to rebind LeBron what is missing in Philly with said billboard, or is that against the rules now that he's a clutch employee? Mm. I didn't read the whole thing. That's two in a row. Anyway, what percentage does Markel have to shoot for a Hamlin billboard?
Oh, I think it has to combine with the total number. So if he shoots on three and a half attempts per game. Let's say 3.5 attempts per game, because Markel in college averaged how many attempts per game? Googling. Checking.
It's got to be 4.5, right?
Five even. He shot 41.3% on 5 attempts per game. So if he shoots on 3.5 attempts per game, if he shoots over 36, I think we got to buy him a billboard. I think we got to put his nuts on a billboard. And it's got to be like a please touch museum type thing where everyone goes up and like rubs it.
I think if he's shooting 3.5 a game, I'm going to lower that to 34%.
That's fine.
And say, yeah. This comes from Rodrigo Diana. Rodrigo asks, Dell Demps calls Elton Brand and tells him that Anthony Davis wants to be moved. Dell wants Embiid. Would you do that trade?
Straight up? And
yeah. I would not trade Joel Embiid for anything.
So no, and also because, AD needs a contract right away. So that's going to be difficult. I'd say no.
Let's say he'll sign it. You'd still say no?
Yeah, he's ours. Come on. We got Embiid. He's our guy. I wouldn't trade him for anything. We need the big billboard, mural in Cleveland of LeBron that they had against the building. Yeah. We need one of that for Hanlon, except it's just like him like icing his knees after a long day of like showing Jordan Clarkson how to jab step.
Yeah, I can see it now. Drew Hanlon, and underneath it has a Nike logo, and it says, just a kid from Akron.
Sure.
This is from Drew Hill 99. When the Sixers get KD in free agency next year, who is the fifth starter with Ben, Markel, KD, and JoJo?
I mean, Cove. Cove sounds good there.
Obviously. God, that would be a monstrous defensive team.
That'd be tough.
And finally, this we addressed this earlier in the pod, but we need a prediction here. This comes from JStat. Is Fultz planning on wearing that under t-shirt all year? What do you think? Does it come off at some point?
I think it comes off.
Does everyone in the league finally realize he's been
too muscular,
faking them out and so muscular that eventually it comes off?
He goes the other way. I think it goes off. I think he'll change something up. There'll be a shooting sleeve. There'll be like an Iverson phase. He's in the cornrows era now, so maybe he just goes full Iverson. I think he decides the next thing, and he realizes he can't have both, more than one thing. And I think the t-shirt goes in favor of something else.
I'd be fine. I don't like the t-shirt. I want the t-shirt to go.
Yeah.
So all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're
Sixers
going
in China.
They're in China. So this is a fun trip. I hope they have a nice time. I hope there's some team building exercises that go on and everyone likes each other more. And
there has been a report that I just read somewhere on Twitter that they are not allowed to use Twitter when they're in China.
Oh, wow.
Now, Keith Pompey already was. He had China flow earlier. So I don't know if it's a rule for everyone, but none of them have tweeted.
Interesting. Weird. It's always weird when you get into geopolitical intrigue, I guess. Could be a slow start to the season because of the China trip. I think that's somebody said like that usually happens. So, guys, we're talking about basketball. The Sixers are back. Do you remember they won a round in the playoffs last year? It was wild. Got to feel good.
Yeah.
Feels
How
good.
About it? And now they're already playing again.
They have, like, let's, if you woke up after 6 years in a coma and you looked at the Sixers and you said, like, all right, they got a couple guys that are dinged up. Zaire, Chandler, Bayless. But they got number one overall pick that seems to be healthy and shooting normal shots like a man. They got Embiid, who's top 5'10 player in the league. Simmons, who's top 20, 25 player in the league. So young. A couple vets. Cove on a fair deal. Dario coming up. Like a likable GM. A very likable coach. Everybody seems to be happy. Like they're, I know in the rear view, there's still so much chaos and carnage left in our wake. But assessing things right now that we can hopefully put the Fultz issue to mostly dog bed and treat him like a regular basketball player. The way it looks right now is they have a really good team and not a ton of drama, assuming Zaire's surgery went well. are we normal yet? That's all I want to be.
His surgery for his food allergy surgery?
Yeah.
His
hives surgery?
You know, I would just, after 6 years, I would have been like, wait a minute. What happened to Hinky?
Yeah.
And what happened to the next guy? That would be the only question I would have.
It's 6 years ago, Hinky was not even a twinkle in her eye yet. It was still 5.5 years ago that he was hired.
Yeah. The cool thing is the China games are like 8 a.m. Eastern time, which means 5 a.m. your time. I'm sure Kornblau will be demanding emergency podcasts at 10 a.m. So we'll have to figure that out. Well, I'll get with Adam and see what's acceptable to him.
We shall. All right.
We will talk to you this weekend. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know Lickface.
We are the murderers there. That with the jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then with the hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair. Used to have powder to push. Now I smoke pounds of the push. Holy, I'm burning the bush. Now I give a fuck about none of this shit. Two runner over and out of this bitch. Step into the spotlight. Of uppers and downers get done. I'm in a rush to be numb. Dropping 1,000 ain't much. Cup on the clouds on a missile.